Well, good morning. Got a big stack of books here today. We're going to go through. So I'll have to confess, my thoughts are a little scattered this morning. I was spending quite a bit of time with teenagers last night. Take a look at 1 Peter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Our brother Dan read this earlier. I'm just going to read it again. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation or conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We stand in awe of your holiness. And Lord, we see this calling before us. And Lord, we look to you, because it is only by your grace and your mercy that we could even stand here today. And Lord, we just pray that you would undertake for this message. Pray that you would just encourage your people, help us to give you all the glory in our lives. We thank you and we praise you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So we see in this passage clearly that God has called us to holiness. The holy God has called us to holiness. Now, this is an exhortation to believers. You could never ask an unbeliever to be holy. The message to the unbeliever is the gospel. The gospel simply that we are in rebellion against our Creator. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And our sin deserves punishment, because God is righteous and he is just. And our sin deserves punishment. But the good news is that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die on the cross and take the punishment that we deserve on himself, in his body, on the tree. And when you put your faith in him, you have been declared righteous as a gift, a completely free gift. Nothing that I can do of myself. It is only I come to him and cry out for mercy, and he will save because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the message to the unbeliever. The message to the believer is, God has declared you righteous. Now I want to make you righteous in your conduct. That is the message to the believer. That we are to allow that righteousness, which we have been declared in the decrees of God, to manifest itself in our life, in reality, in practice, in conduct. And we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility for this. And we're going to talk about that. We have a tremendous responsibility as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a believer here today, you have a responsibility to walk in holiness. We're going to talk about what that means. In the days in which we are living, the importance of personal holiness cannot be overstated. Like never before, our generation has the accessibility of the worst sorts of defilement at the touch of a button or the click of a mouse. The worst that has ever been is available with one click. The ease of access and the cultural shift in attitudes of the world around us can fool us into thinking that the consequences of sin have somehow lessened. But they haven't. We've seen, just in the world, we've seen the powerful fall because of sin. Everything taken from them. Just last week, senior pastor of probably the largest church in Wisconsin has resigned in shame because of sin. The consequences of sin is real. Just because it's easier to access in our world today doesn't mean that the consequences have changed. It's a dangerous thing. We play with fire, we're going to get burned. So we need to be careful. God has called us to holiness. And that should be a wake-up call. No one is immune. No one is immune from the enticements, from the temptations that are so prevalent in our world today. Robert Murray McShane was a Scottish preacher in the 1800s. He died when he was 30. He left wonderful memoirs and letters, sermons. One of the things that he said, so he was a pastor, and he said, the most important thing for my people, speaking of his congregation, the most important thing for my people is my personal holiness. He saw the need for his own holiness if he was to be of any use to God and any use to his people, the congregation. Do we have that attitude? Fathers, the most important thing you can do for your kids is your personal holiness. Mothers, personal holiness is the most important thing you can do for your kids, for your family. Laborers in the gospel together, the most important thing you can do is your personal holiness. It matters. It matters. What does the passage say here in 1 Peter? Verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conduct. See, it says, don't fashion yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. See, before we were saved, we didn't know any better. Now that you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know better. You know better. It says, your former ignorance. We should no longer be in that state of ignorance. We should know better. Be ye holy in all your conduct. So we're going to talk about this a little more, but holiness is not a state of perfection. There's many teachings out there that teach that holiness, I've reached some kind of a state where I am now holy. And the old nature has been destroyed, has been eradicated, and now I can live in sinless perfection. Well, we know that if you're honest with yourself, you know that that can't be true. So holiness is not a state of perfection. I was reading G. Campbell Morgan, and he said, holiness is the place where spiritual advancement is possible. Holiness is the place where growth can take place. That's holiness. Holiness is separating myself to God. I am taking a step, and I am taking a step to God. I am separating myself, and now I'm in a place where advancement can take place, where holiness, that is holiness, where growth can take place, where it is possible. So we will get into that a little more, but take a look at back in the reading here, 1 1 Peter 1. I've got 3 points. The first point is the call to holiness. Second point is the motive of holiness, or the motive for holiness. And third, the result of holiness. So, first point, the call to holiness. So I like what the ESV, how the ESV puts it here in 1 Peter 1:13. Now we've heard before this phrase, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. We've been taught that what that is talking about, that figure of speech. So in those days, the men would wear these robes, and they were long and flowing. You could easily trip up on them. So to gird up the loins is to take that all that extra material, wrap it up, and tuck it in the belt, so your legs were free to run if needed, so that you would not be unhindered in your running, in your travel. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, what the ESV has done is it didn't do a straight translation. It took that figure of speech and gave us the meaning of it. And I like what it says here in 1 Peter 1:13. It says, therefore, preparing your minds for action. Preparing your minds for action. See, this Christian life is not a passive undertaking. I've got too many books up here. I can't. The Christian life is not a passive undertaking. We don't grow by osmosis, although that would be nice. We don't. Now, what's osmosis? It's the unconscious assimilation of ideas. Okay? So it's, if I'm in a certain, like a cell, cellular structures in a solution, eventually what is in the solution will make its way into the cell and create equilibrium. So if we are in the atmosphere of this world, osmosis will actually turn us away from God. The influence, the ideas, the philosophies of this world will permeate into our hearts and minds. So if we're just sitting around, we're going to go backwards. Okay? That's the reality. We will be a spiritual couch potato. We need to prepare our minds for action. We need to take action in this pursuit of holiness. Take a look at some of these verses. We're just going to go through some verses here and just pay attention to the action verb. The word, take a look at 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6:18. It says, flee. Run. Run away. Flee fornication. Flee sexual immorality. Flee. Run away. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 7. Verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It says, cleanse ourselves. We're going to talk about what that means. 2 Timothy. We'll come back to this, but so in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:19. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are His. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And there's the other action word, depart from iniquity. Take a look at verse 21. "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Purge yourself. Cleanse yourself. Take a look at verse 22. Flee. Again, flee. I bet you didn't know you signed up for running. Flee. Also, youthful lusts. Take a look at verse 15, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. Study. So there's not all departing, but there's also things that we need to do too. Study is one of them. So these are all action words that we see that we have a responsibility to obey, to follow. Prepare your minds for action. See, it's very easy to be lulled into sleep. It's very easy in the busyness of life to suffer from spiritual lethargy. Allow a carelessness to come in when it comes to our personal holiness. Oh, that's okay. I'll watch this show. I know it's not the best, but that's okay. It won't affect me. Well, maybe it doesn't affect you, but maybe you think it doesn't affect you, but it does. You know, Netflix, or, you know, streaming entertainment, that's entertainment is a big thing where the world will, by osmosis, will send its messages to us. And if we sit like those spiritual couch potatoes, like I said, we will, all that influence will just permeate our souls. Netflix has the handy feature of you watch an episode, it'll just, once it's over, it'll give you 5 seconds and the next one will start. And then it'll give you 5 seconds after that episode, and then the next one will start. And if you're not careful, you'll sit there for hours, just constant streaming of entertainment, lulling to sleep. I'm not saying that watching, you know, entertainment is wrong, but that's kind of a great illustration of that. It just continues to lull you to sleep. You know, first, take a look at 1 John 5. First John 5:19. It says, "And we know that we are of God." It says, "The whole world lies in the arms of the wicked one." And the imagery there is a mother and a baby rocking it to sleep. The whole world lies in the arms of the wicked one, and he's lulling it to sleep. Not to disturb the child. Nope, just continue to sleep. Never mind, you know, getting up and reading your Bible. Never mind pursuing. Just stay asleep. Everything will be okay. That's what the world will do to us. But we are to take action. Prepare your mind for action. So I'm going to go back to one of the verses I read earlier, 2 Corinthians 7. We're going to talk about cleansing ourselves. It says there in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So remember I said holiness is the place where spiritual growth is possible. So we as believers have a responsibility to step into that place. And that's what it, I believe this is what this is saying. Let us cleanse ourselves. So there's four aspects of this. Cleansing ourselves. Four aspects. The first is conviction. Conviction. Second is renunciation. Third is surrender. And fourth is faith. So the first, conviction. So conviction is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, it says that He convicts the world of sin. He convicts us of sin. In this life, as we're going about our business, sometimes like a bolt of lightning, conviction will come into our consciousness. Conviction of sin. And if you think about it, that's God's goodness. That is the loving shepherd with his staff showing us you are going in the wrong direction. And we need to thank him for conviction. When conviction comes in our own lives, we need to thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for not leaving me to myself. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this to my consciousness. And now it can be anything, a harsh word. Something comes out of your mouth and then suddenly conviction. It can be allowing bitterness in your heart and the Lord convicts. Giving in to some weakness. You find yourself in a situation, conviction comes. Or allowing fear to drive us. It can be anything, and suddenly conviction comes. It's very important what we do next. When that conviction comes, the moment we are convicted of our sin, there can be no excuses. There can be no compromise, and there can be no delay. You know, what we do so often is we excuse ourselves. We justify ourselves. Well, the reason I did that was because of this. Well, I did that because this. No, we cannot excuse ourselves. We cannot justify ourselves. God convicts for a reason. God didn't make a mistake. He convicts us of our sins. How do we react to that? No excuse. Lord, you're right. It's sin. The next is renunciation. Reject, refuse, turn from the sin. You know, if I'm involved in something and that conviction comes, it's time to back away and turn away from it. And that is holiness. That is holiness. If I see sin and I know that I feel myself drawn to it, and Lord, I need your help. Turn away from it. That is holiness. Touch not the unclean thing. That is holiness. Renunciation. All known sin. Sometimes we don't know, but God can show us. But we renounce, we turn away from known sin in our lives. And we put ourselves in that spot where God can work now. God can bless. We can grow. If we continue in our sin, If I reject that conviction, I'm not going to grow. I'm going to go backwards, like I said, in my spiritual walk. And if I don't respond to the conviction, I will be less and less sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And that's a dangerous thing. No one wants that. We need to be responding to the conviction of the Holy Spirit when it comes. So, conviction, renunciation, surrender, yielding. Lord, I give myself to you. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. I surrender to him. We sang this song actually twice, so which is wonderful because really spoke to me this morning when we sang it. It fit right in. This is surrender. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the cross of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. I'm willing to submit, surrender, yield it all to him. Those things that charm me the most, I'm willing to give up for you, Lord. And then verse 4, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all. When we see what he has done for us, we can surrender to that love, what he has done for us. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So I'm convicted of my sin. I turn from my sin. I surrender to him. You know, so often our sin, it arises from me believing I need something or want something. And I'm going to do it whatever it takes to get it. Sometimes we need to surrender to God and say, Lord, I give it to you. If I don't get this, if I get it, Lord, I'm just surrendering it to you. I care more about pleasing you than getting this or whatever it is that we want. We surrender to him. And then finally, faith. Believe. Believe the promises of God. Because that's what's going to keep us moving forward, is belief in the promises of God. And back in 2 Corinthians 7, it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. What promises? What is he talking about? Well, the previous passage in chapter 6. In verse 16, it says, halfway down there, ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Believe those promises. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Believe the promises. Lord, you're going to be with me. It says that the Lord will receive you. What is that? That can't be talking about our initial salvation. God will receive you unto the sphere of usefulness. He can use you. That, like I said, that spiritual growth. He will receive you. Believe those promises. He will never leave us nor forsake us, that we may boldly say, the Lord is our helper. We can believe the promises. So that's what I think when it says cleanse yourself. I think that's that responsibility that we have to turn. We see the sin, we turn away, we surrender our will to Him, our lives. Lord, do with me whatever you choose. And then we believe His promises. He'll give us strength. That is holiness. That's holiness. So back in 1 Peter, 1 Peter 1, 13. It says, prepare your minds for action. Be sober. Be clear thinking. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, this is the second point, the motive for holiness. The motive for holiness. It says, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. And that ought to be a motivating factor in our lives to please Him and serve Him. He is coming. Take a look at Romans 13. Romans 13. Verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11, it says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. There's another one of those action words, cast off the works of darkness. But what I want to focus on is, it says, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. What does he mean by saying knowing the time? He's not talking about the day or the hour that Jesus is coming again. He's talking about the season. Okay, we know, we see that he's coming again. And it says that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. We've been asleep long enough. We've wasted enough time. I've wasted enough time in my life. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What is that talking about? That's talking about our... We know that salvation has the three tenses, right? When I believe in the Lord Jesus, I'm saved. I know that when I walk with Him, it's sanctification, I am being saved. And one day, glorification, I will be saved. So that is talking about our future salvation. That day when He comes again to deliver us out of these bodies, that day is nearer. It's a week closer than it was last week. It is nearer than when we first believed. When I first put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that day is nearer, is closer. It gets closer every single day. That ought to be our motive for holiness. Knowing the time, it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. I should probably read that in the ESV. Want carelessness. So rioting, you know, drunken parties, chambering is sleeping around. Wantonness, carelessness. Not in strife and envying. It says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. It ought to be our motive that he's coming again. Take a look at 1 John. 1 John 2, verse 28. 1 John 2, 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. Behold, verse 3, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. There's another one of those action words, purifying yourself. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That's that future salvation, that glorification. That's the consummation of our salvation. We shall be like him. You know, today, like I said, that holiness is not a state of perfection. This is. That is. We shall be like him. Nothing hindering his likeness in us. That is something to be excited about. And it says, every man that has this hope in him purifies himself. You know, if I'm looking to that day, I'm going to do what I can to please him, to serve him, to honor him in my life. I will put myself in that place where God can work and bless. Our motivation, his coming. Our motivation for holiness. And lastly, the result of holiness. The result of holiness. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:9. Just going to go through a little bit more here. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having the seal. The Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. If a man therefore purge himself from all that is dishonorable, all that is not pleasing to God, he shall be a vessel unto honor. See, we're an empty vessel. We can be filled. And we need to be filled. We can be filled with the things of this world, or we can be filled with him. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit is a command to believers. Be being filled. And it says, we can be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, right? Holy, and fit for the master's use. He wants to make us able. He wants us to be fit for his use, so he can use us in our family's life, in the people around us, in the chapel. He wants to use us. It says, fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. God wants to display good works through us. God, good works that he has prepared before the foundation of the world, he wants them to come through us. And we need to put ourselves in that place where we are usable. And it is through holiness. And lastly, 2 Peter 1. I don't have time to read through the entire list, but I think this is a wonderful, one of my favorite passages. 2 Peter 1. Verse 5, again, I'm not doing it justice because there's so much here, but 2 Peter 1, 5 says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. So this is that, here's a great list of virtues that the Lord wants to get in us when we put ourselves in that place of being usable. And it lists all these things. And then finally it says, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, when the Lord Jesus comes back, we don't want to be ashamed. We want to be confident. And an abundant entrance into his kingdom. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That is what we are looking for. To please him in what we do. That's the result of holiness. So, God's called us to be holy. He's called us to touch not the unclean thing. Turn from those things that displease him. Because he's coming again. He's coming again. So, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have called us to holiness. You've called us to yourself. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the Holy Spirit to give us strength, Lord, to convict us of our sins. And to give us strength to turn away from our sins. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you've done for us. We thank you that we can look forward to that day when the Lord Jesus comes again. Lord, we give you all the glory. We thank you for all your blessings. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.